But yeah, y'all can't see me, and I'm kind of glad that we decided that we're not doing a YouTube. Because yeah. Y'all need to see me this geeked. I fear that, like, y'all would clip,
like, parts of it.
Our friends, specifically Addie.
Addie would get us.
She'd clip us and, like, post, like, clip bits that are just
not too pleasing.
Not too pleasing to the brain. But yeah. So, moving on. Step three, accepting others. Yeah. So we're gonna start off with another Bible scripture. It's from Colossians 3:13-14. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Just that quote. It's a struggle already, because what do you mean I have to forgive people? Let me hold a grudge in peace. No. So it says here, we're usually hyper aware of the sins that we struggle with the most. And as a result, when we see someone else, especially someone that we care about, fall into the same sins, it reminds us of us and how we end up getting angry with them instead of the sin itself, which isn't healthy, because you yourself are doing the same thing or have done the same thing, and it's just there's just reasons that we just cannot fully accept others when we think that they've messed up, which you're not supposed to be judging. Only God can judge.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So it either is we don't think that they're deserving of the Lord's forgiveness, or we're too distanced from them to empathize with them. We have extremely strong convictions against the way that they live. And we secretly struggle with what they are outwardly embracing as their truth. But yeah. And I just feel like it's very easy to call someone else out.
Yeah.
But like I just said, only God can judge. So if you're calling out other people and you're being like an antagonistic person, you're just hating on them. What if God did that to us? Like, it's judgment day. And he's just like, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and this as well. And don't even think I forgot about that. Like, what if he did that to us? You'd be hurt.
Right, like, you'd be and then so
it's,
sad.
And then it's like, dude, wait, like, I didn't mean to do all those things. But, like, if he kept a record of all the things that we did wrong, which he does. But if he chose not to forgive us, he's already forgiven us in advance. But if he chose to just not forgive us, then what? Then what? Oh, you sinned? Okay. Bye.
Yeah, you're out.
You don't want to repent? Bye. You don't want to follow in my word? Bye. Yeah, forgiving others will help us forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
And it will also help us be grateful for our forgiveness from God. The only thing is, I'm not a forgiving person. As much as I want to be, I just can't. Like, there'll just always be something that's in the back of my mind being like, they did this. They did this to you. Yeah, you can forgive and forget. Yeah. But hold on to that, because they're most likely going to do it again. And then what? You're going to be sitting there looking stupid or something. Like, there's always something, like a voice telling me, like, don't forget what they did. Because, like, they're going to do it again to you. If they did it once, they're going to do it again. Now what? Now you're stuck. But, yeah. What about you?
I've been working on forgiveness. Certain aspects of it, like my father, I don't know when I'll forgive him, or, you know, if I'm ever going to be fully ready to forgive him. Because I feel like, what is there to forgive? You were never there. Like, it's kind of hard to forgive something that was you never had, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I feel like, I also feel like I'll never be able to, like, grow as a person if I don't end up forgiving him. Because it's all that anger and, like, resentment, you know? It's like, it builds over time. And so, I just, sometimes I'm like, well, like, at a point in time, like, you're going to need to forgive him. Like, even my mom was, like, talking about, like, you should just talk to him. And my mom, they do not talk. Like, they're not cool in any terms of being cool. But I think she thinks it'd be good for me to talk to him at least.
Yeah.
Because he's been trying to reach out lately, you know.
I know. Yeah.
Trying to reach out lately. And I've just been dodging any type of contact with him. So I was, like, thinking about that. Because, like you said, like, you can't forgive. Like, you never forgive yourself certain things. Like, I feel like if I don't talk to him, eventually, like, I'll regret it.
Yeah.
So it's, like,
that's the one thing I want. Or that's the one thing I don't want. Because I'm going to ask you a very personal follow-up question in just a second.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just think that you never know what could happen. Like, yeah. Literally, I'll be mad at my mom, or she'll be mad at me, and she'll still say I love you before she goes to sleep. Because you never know what can happen. You never know what waits ahead. And so, like, yeah, that's why I feel like, I don't know. My mom has always been like, you don't be like that. Like, Asia will be mad at me. I remember Asia was mad at me for something I did or didn't do. And she just sat there. And was like, I'm not gonna, like, say anything to you. Like, she gave me the silent treatment for, like, a whole 4 hours. And my mom was like, don't be like that, Asia. Like, go talk to your sister. Say I love you because I'm going to bed or something. Just, like, say I love you and say goodnight. And, yeah. I just feel like, yeah, you never know what could happen. And so that's why I'm like, it's really upsetting to think about and really dark to think about. But I'm always like, my dad lost his mother. And I remember going to that funeral and being like, I don't know this woman. I've never met this woman, but I felt the emotion of those around me.
Yeah.
Very empathetic. I'm an empathetic crier. If you start crying around me, if you're sad around me, at some point I'm going to get sad and my eyes are going to start watering and I'm going to cry with you. But yeah, no, I just remember seeing all my aunts and my one aunt.
my one aunt.
And all my uncles and them just being so upset. And like, I've never been close to my dad's family for real. But yeah, that day, like, they're like, don't ever hesitate to, like, call me, to text me. And I still don't, I just I can't do it. But I'm gonna slowly but surely reach out. I'm gonna start with my dad. Because yeah, I just don't want to be on that end of it. I just lost my parent. And it's very sad to think about, but I think about these things pretty often just because, like, nothing is ever truly, like, prepared. You're never prepared for that. And so I feel like I'd still just be, like, so upset with myself if something were to happen to that man.
Right.
And I never forgave him. Or at least try to, like, send out a peace offering. Y'all can hear it in our voices, but just there are tears. But yeah, so my very personal follow-up question is, have you forgiven yourself for just anything, like, regarding that? Because it's like, I know for me, I just thought, like, it was my fault for most of my life. I'm like, oh, my dad, like, he's never here, and I think it's my fault for him never being here. I think he never wanted, because I remember before graduation, he actually called me. I was so upset about it. I was like, what are you calling me for? I don't know you. I don't like you. But, like, he had reaffirmed, like, me. Like, he affirmed that I was planned and I wasn't a mistake. And, like, that's something I had struggled with for a minute. I was like, my mom, they had me young. Like, there's no way that that could have been, like, planned or anything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, y'all can tell me as much as you want, but like between me not even living with my mom and like barely seeing my dad, I just always felt like they never truly wanted me. Because like my dad has my brothers and stuff too, and I'm just like, you're with them.
Yeah.
And then with my mom, she like got me once I was old enough to like pretty much do stuff on my own. And she had another baby after. And so it was just like, cool. I was here because you were going through a rough time, I guess. And like, I'm still struggling to forgive myself for even thinking like that they didn't want me.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know, like, where do you stand on that? Like, are you on that brink of forgiveness?
I feel like most of it's hard to forgive because I do technically have two older brothers, but they had unfit they had an unfit mother and father, so they went to foster care. So I never get to meet them. Right, like at this point in time, like they're both older than me. They're both like 1's 2 years older than me, 1's 1 year older than me. Mm-hmm. So I just never got to know them. And then I apparently have a little sister that he's gotten to talk to. I think he's actually liked to talk to her. And I think a lot of the anger I had too was like, you talk to her, but what about me? Like, I was technically your first daughter.
Yeah.
But why didn't you want to be in my life, I guess, you know? I think he really set the tone with like men for me.
as well as you usually do.
But like, it wasn't just him. Like, I had a stepfather as well. And so, every disappointment that he, like, I'm like, my real dad, he wasn't there to disappoint me, but this one was. So, like, that I daughter dances, like, they would go, and then he would go. And so it's like, it's just hard. I think it was like, because like, they set the tone for like, well, every man that's gonna do this to you, or they're gonna do this to that, and like, if you know me personally, then you know, like, I don't have a good track record with men. And it's, I get spooked very easily. I don't know. I think it's also because of the fact is like, I just don't know the love of a man. I never have. I know love my mother. She's always loved me, right? Like, even when, you know, like, we're fighting or this and that, like, I know that she loves me. And so it's like, I think that's why like men and like, I just like, me with men is just, it's a hard thing to process. And that's why I think that's like also like me forgiving my father would probably help a lot with those relationships I want to build one day. I do want to eventually one day like settle down and like have like the fairy tale love story, but I could never let a man into my heart. And like, because I spook. Like, they spooked me.
No, like, you're so real for that, actually. At the end of the day, I think God led us to each other.
Yeah.
Because I think he led most of the girls that I've become close friends with to be my friend. Because at the end of the day, my friends are just the same girl in a different pot. Like, the amount of, like, similarities that I find between, like, you and me, and then me and Sahara, and then me and Sahara. Y'all, like, that girl is literally me. I don't know what it is. She's literally me, just with a bigger family. And then my best friend, Anaya.
Yeah.
Like, they are like mirror images of me. And then you, I didn't even know like until very, very recently. Like, I want to say, because we didn't really become friends until like mid senior year, early senior year.
Like, we definitely talked as a choir and junior year, but like we got really close towards that like middle senior year part.
Yeah.
So
now we're here. Now we're here. Now we're roommates.
We're roommates. So.
But yeah, that was a quick little crack.
That was.
But it says here, C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God is forgiven the inexcusable in you. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'll be working on.
Me
is forgiveness.
I have to text this man. I should probably text the other one too.
Yeah. I feel like I'm scared to text my stepfather.
It's like the damage. Like, they may not be our real father, but the damage they've done.
Right. Like, you don't owe me it, but you owe me at least, like, something. Because, like, truthfully speaking, my stepdad wasn't a bad stepdad. He was just a very bad husband to my mom. They just had a lot of trust and, like, miscommunication issues that kind of interfered. Because, like, the times when he would leave, I'd be so upset. Like, I'd cry about it. Like, me and my sister, especially Asia, because, like, that was already, like, her dad, pretty much. He's been in majority of her life. And so I think seeing her cry over it is just, like, it was really hurtful. Like I've explained before, my sister is my everything.
Yeah.
And now I have two of them. So y'all about to be really tired of me, because if you hurt, oh, the song of What Did You Say About My Brother? That's going to be me. But I mean it fiercely. Because those are my babies. I don't, like, especially Asia, because, like, I had part in raising her, basically. I was a third parent, technically a second one, because her dad was in Chicago and we were here. But yeah, no, like, and I think what really helped is that my mom never, like, hid us away from our fathers.
Yeah.
She would still allow us to go see them. Even my aunt, when I was staying with her, she'd be like, he'd come pick me up from her house, and then we'd go and spend weekends together. But, yeah, I think Asia's kind of like a trigger for me. Like, my sister is a trigger, my father is a trigger, confrontation is a trigger. My mom will try to talk to me. She really will. Or, like, we'll talk about something serious, and I just won't be able to get it out. Yeah. Like, I'll sit there and hyperventilate because I just, like, don't want to make her upset with me. Especially if she's already upset with me. I'm just like, I really don't want to press this right now, Mom. Please just, like, let it go. Or with Asia, it's like, I'm so protective over her because, like, I basically spent I was 8 years old. I remember the first time I actually, like, had to take care of her was I was 8 years old, and it wasn't even my job. My older cousin was supposed to be watching me, his sister, and Asia. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be watching after us. This is the same cousin that we traumatized about. But yeah, no, like, when we traumatized on Jordan.
Poor Jordan.
So sorry. But yeah, no, like, I remember because he was supposed to watch us. Mm-hmm. He stayed in his room playing video games. And so, of course, my 8-year-old self, very newly 8, by the way.
Pretty fresh here.
Like, pretty fresh. It was, like, I think January of the next year after I turned 8. And so, like, my birthday's in December, y'all. I was barely a month into being 8, and I'm having to make food for me, my 6-year-old cousin, and, like, making bottles for my sister. I remember specifically, oddly enough, because I finally got Asia to go to sleep. Like, I was so accomplished about that. And I sat down and I watched Henry Danger. Like, it was the pilot episode of Henry Danger or something.
Oh my god. That's giving me episode?
Yeah, like the pilot episode. They had been advertising it for a bit. But yeah, I remember watching it because, like, Asia was asleep. I was like, I can do it. But yeah, no, like, it was just crazy. It was wicked to me because it's like I spent so much time, so much effort into kind of shielding her from everything else, that is, like, that's kind of how hard it was for me to, like, go to college.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even want to go to NAU, y'all. I was going to stay home. I was going to probably do ASU or U of A even, probably even GCU with Naya.
Yeah.
Just because it was closer and I wouldn't have to like travel that far. It's like 30 minutes max, an hour max, depending. But yeah, I was like, I can't leave her. So I think those are like what triggers me. And then like, it's like, you mess with my sister now. I'm like, I have to hurt you. I have to hurt you because that's my child. Or if you mess with like any of my closest girlfriends. Because like, me and Sahara, yes, we've gone to war with each other, but I will go to war for her.
Yeah, she'll go to war for her.
Me and Anaya, we went a whole year without talking to each other. A whole year. Because I didn't approve of something she did. And, like, this was, we literally had been on a trip.
Like,
this is, like, the confirmation of my friendship with her, pretty much. Like, I went on a family trip to the mountains. We came up here. We were in the mountains in a cabin and everything. And she had told me, and I was like, dude, that's not safe. Like, you're doing stuff that's just not safe. I can't, like, back you on that. And then I had caught an attitude with her mom. In the crossfires, I caught an attitude with her mom. And I knew it was wrong. Because she looked at me, and she was like,
yeah, no.
So what happened? Because from me being snappy with her, she understood that, like, Naya had to have done something that made me upset. Because I never get upset with people. At this point in time, I'm like, it's freshman year, I think. It was freshman year or something, or, like, early sophomore year. And, or winter sophomore year. And I was, like, snappy with her. And I've never been snappy with her. Like, to her, I was the perfect child. I'd go over to her house and wash dishes. Would I wash them at my house? No. But for her, I would. And so, it was so crazy because it was like, she caught on to it and she was like, what happened? And she forced us to sit down. I remember we were on a tire swing. And I was like, I'm not talking to her. Even after we, like, talked it out, I was like, still not talking to you. Like, we talked it out, we hugged it out, we got in the car to go back home, and I sat there, and I'm like, and then her mom was like, I think it's best that they take some time away from each other. Naya, like, got her phone taken away and everything, and I was just like, I was there, I was chilling. And then in that time, I got closer to Sahara. Mm-hmm. And so just like, the series of events.
Not the hugging. Oh, yeah. God, I hated the hugging.
No.
That was always like it was always a black parent's little
like,
thing.
Hug it out.
You're gonna hug it out. I'm gonna sit here and watch you hug it out.
I don't like this. Please let me go. Let me be free. Please. No. You have to hug it out.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then even us, like Washington took us out almost like. But we still got through it. And now you're living with me permanently, actually.
We have next semester as well.
Yeah, we just signed a lease, y'all. We are doing adult things, and no, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. What do you mean?
What do you mean I have to pay rent? I have to sign a lease?
I have to work?
I'm expensive. I know this now.
Because you understand, like, Nene knows I'm expensive, okay?
Like, already I knew that, like, yeah, no, like, paying for me is probably expensive.
Yeah.
You know, like, being a daughter, so sorry, mommy. but outside of that, it was like, what do you mean? I have to start paying for myself?
It's like, what do you mean?
Wrong. I can't do that. But yeah, no. So I think my main three triggers is, like, if someone messes with my friends, I get upset. If someone messes with my sister, oh, I'm livid. If someone talks to me about my dad, I'm either really, really angry or really, really sad. It depends. Like, literally just 2 days ago, I think we were in here, and I saw a TikTok of, yeah, it was in here, because I saw a TikTok, and it was like, two dads with their daughters after a daddy-daughter dance, and they were eating Chick-fil-A together. And I was like, am I attempting to forgive my father right now for his absence? Yes. Do I still hate that he wasn't there? Also, yes. Like, do I understand that he just wasn't prepared to be a father at a full level? Not really. I remember feeling like, what's so hard about being a dad? Like, dude. But I think that, like, took place because, like, Pastor Brian was saying in the Manhood of It edition, was that men don't have, like, a rite of passage. And neither do women. Yeah. Like, a full, like, actual rite of passage to, you know, change from girlhood and boyhood to womanhood and manhood.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I remember him saying that some men didn't have fathers in their lives that would live out godly lives or give them any, like, intuition on how to go about that. And so, yeah. I don't know where I was going with this, actually, but that's just something that popped into mind. Yeah. Do you think you have any triggers like that? Like, anything that make you just, like, kind of jump out of your skin?
Yeah. One thing that, like, I don't play with my friends, like, I don't, like, back off my friends. Very simple. Very one. It's like, use one job. Just back off my friends.
Mm.
My cousins, like, they were, like, my version of siblings. Like, they were, I was with them most, like, my entire life. Like, I grew up with them. That's what I always had, right? Like, when I was a child, like, I always had them. And so, like, that was always a trigger. Like, talking about my cousin, getting near my cousins, getting active with my cousins is always, like, yes, you know, we're not gonna do that.
Mm.
We're gonna see her.
Mm.
And like, I wasn't, like, oh my god, I was a very angry child. Like,
real.
I was such an angry child. And real. So, like, certain things would set me off. Like, it's like a switch would go off, and just, I went from this sweet, innocent looking child to this mean, mean little thing, you know? And then, like, another thing is, like, oh, my mother. Like, yeah, I don't know if you remember the story I told you about, like, my aunt's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, like, she took it to court with my mother. And at that point in time, it's a moment. Like, I can disagree with that. I can be mad at her. I can be, like, mad at her at that moment in time. I don't care. We were literally being kind of, like, the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to that moment. Don't come for my mother.
Don't do it.
Like, she was surprised, actually.
Mm.
But what happened? Because...
That's not my daughter.
I'm a very passive child. Like, I'm pretty passive person in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like you said earlier, like, I'm, like, my mom is the most, like, least competitive person you ever met right this very moment in time. Yeah. And high school is a little more computational, but here, I'm just, like, I'm really not. Like, I don't, like,
there's
have...
There's no point.
Like, yeah. I'm not gonna fight with you. I just don't have it in me. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I don't got it. But in that moment in time, I had it.
It was there.
It was there.
Trust.
Yeah. Those are my triggers.
Real. So, what are things that you hate to see in other people? Like, anger, confusion, sadness, fear. Like, as far as things that you would call out to other people. Here's a list. If you need to look at it.
Okay.
Right here. Just.
Angry. Hostile. We're really in the anger section. Fearful.
Mm-hmm.
I panicked because I get really, like, oh, depressed. Exhausted. It's not even hate to see. Like, I just don't. I wish I didn't have. Like, I wish you were okay. Like, I feel like, I hate when people are exhausted. I'm like, oh no.
I hate
please.
It for you.
Yeah, I hate
I'm
it
so
for
sorry.
You. Like,
please rest.
Please. Mournful.
Mm.
A lot of these is, like, because I'm not the best with emotions. And so people feel this way. Like, I don't really know how to comfort them, and I feel terrible because I'm not great at comforting people.
Mm.
And so it's like, ooh, like, you're, like, if you're angry at me, if you sound angry with me, I've just learned to, like, kind of be like, okay. And, like, you're mad. I don't know why you're mad. And I'm not going to continue to fight for you. Like, you're mad at me.
Yeah.
But maybe I should stop guilty. That. Should stop.
I'm also guilty of that. But yeah.
Yeah.
For me, kind of the same. It's just like when people have really strong emotions about things, I don't know how to comfort. I know how to empathize. I don't know how to comfort you.
wrong person, guys.
Wrong person. I can't help you. I'm so sorry.
I came to my own emotions. I used to cry so hard my back would lock up. That's how I know the spasms. I get them when I cry really, really hard. Like, when I just, like, when I'm crying really hard, my back will start to, like, convulse.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's healthy.
I don't think so either. But, like, on the flip side of that, when I cry so hard, my chest, like, I basically have a heart attack.
Yeah. So, that's also not healthy.
Also not healthy. But, yeah, no, it's just, like you said, like, when people are mad at me, I'm like, you're mad. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry. I don't see any way out of this. Sometimes it's just like outbursts of anger on their part. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be like, I don't know why you're mad. Like, but then I'll meet your anger with my attitude. Because like, okay, what do you want me to do about that? I can't do much about it. It's already happened. What's in the past is in the past. And I'll leave it alone. Like, cry about it, move on, pretty much. And I need to break out of that. I do, but like, I feel like it was just kind of engraved in me, especially like in our culture. It's like, oh, you're crying? I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
Or it's like, there'll be like something, I'll be like, you got in trouble. And instead of like actually talking about why you're in trouble, it's just immediate anger.
Yeah.
Or instead of like, what is it? Like, what am I trying to say? Instead of like apologizing for like their outburst of anger, it'll be like my mom will get mad at me, super duper mad, and I won't know what I did. But then she'll send me to my room and be like, hours later, and they're like, you want something to eat? Like, no, that's not healthy. Like, we have to, like, you got so mad at me. Like, but yeah. So it says here, to reflect on any grudges you might be holding. And how is holding on to that resentment affecting your well-being? And what steps can you take to let go? And then it also says to think about a time when you were forgiven and how did it feel to receive that forgiveness.
I think the only grudge I'm holding is probably with my father and my stepfather. A little bit of my uncle. That's the man in my family, I guess. Or were in my family or something. You know, it's just...
Of the sort. In my life at some point.
When I've been forgiven, I have this need to be forgiven sometimes, too. Like, at times, I know I'm wrong. Mm. Like, okay, I'm just gonna... The whole high school situation, I was wrong at some point. And I can reflect back on that and be like, you know, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. And, I am gonna talk to he did apologize in full and I haven't responded to it because I've just been kind of, you know... I'm not even mad. I haven't been mad in a long time. Like, I already talked to him. We've talked things out. We've reconciled and, like, not reconciled as for friends, but, like, we don't hate each other's existence kind of thing.
Okay.
And I feel like he's going through... He wouldn't have texted me if he didn't need me to forgive him, I feel. Because I feel like you didn't need to text me that. You didn't need to say sorry. You didn't have to, like... No one's forcing you to do anything.
Like, at this point, we barely talk, so, like,
you didn't have to.
Yeah.
And so, I was, like, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I was like, man, like, because, like, even, like, with it felt like, I did feel really bad. And he was, like, don't feel bad, like, stuff happens, you know? And I was, like, that made me feel even worse.
I get you.
It made me worse because I'm, like, well, like, I don't even know if it's really just him or if it was just, like, I can't let him in to my life, and I got like really spooked with him wanting me to be his girlfriend or like wanting to further certain things. And I was sitting there and I was like, man, like he forgave me, yes. Because honestly, what took me so long to end it with him was because I felt terrible about doing it.
Yeah.
And, but honestly, I wasn't gonna be good for him. Like, I wasn't gonna be good for him. Like, I have like the most toxic. I've seen high school Jalen.
I've seen high school
Jalen. It's very toxic. Like, no like no one I've ever been like trying to build a relationship with has mm-hmm. made it. Yeah, and so I just was there and I was like, man, like I didn't even like realize sometimes. I think in high school I just kind of just like a wrecking ball mm-hmm. everything around me, like, and most of them didn't deserve that. Like, I think that's why like my kind of like opened my eyes a little bit, because mm-hmm. I was like, he's such a good guy, but I'm terrible for him, you know. Yeah. And I think Casey worked because like when my mom was like, give him the Jalen treatment. So
no, because you can't just say that it's not gonna be okay after that.
And then like he was like talking about something, like, I'm okay, and I was like, what do you mean? We were cool, like we were chill. I swear mm-hmm. we were chill. And I was sitting here like, man, like I don't think like I can like talk about like they could like keep from afar. Like the guys I talk about keep from afar, I would never probably most likely pursue it. Cause I can't as a person like feel myself wanting like loving a man right now. Mm. So I just, you know, I'm letting them free.
Go be free. Be free. Let something, let it
go.
No, again, like I said, most of my friends are just same girl with her mom. Like, we've been through a lot of the similar things. Yeah. Like, for me, it's just, like, the amount of good men that I just refuse to, like, recognize mm-hmm. at that time that I'm recognizing now is, like, so hurtful to me, because it's, like, I realize that I kind of have just been blocking everything. Like, there's such a big front, which partially I will say is my fault, because it's like you build up this wall because of your dad, and it's like I don't even want to let my dad in. Like, is he trying now? Yes. But it's just like I felt like it was too late. It was just like it's too late for me.
Yeah,
like focus on the kids that you do have right now. Like, don't mess them up.
Right.
But yeah, I just think like it's upsetting to see like what could have happened, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it's like I've blocked off pretty much everything, and like he wasn't a bad man. I couldn't commit because I was like, if I do this, then this is one more man who has the chance and the opportunity to hurt me.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. I don't know. You know what? I'll say this. The time I was forgiven is when I had sat down and I talked with Addie. Because I realized that I was really bad to her as a friend in high school. Like, there'd be times where I'd just be, like, really hot and cold with her. And I recognized that in doing that, I've kind of just realized that I've just been pushing my friends away too. And like I've said this to you many a times, but like my worst fear is to lose everyone. Like, to lose everyone that's close to me. And I think with recognizing like how much that affected her, because I would see it on her face and I would do it again. And I think that will just kind of stick with me, is that I was a terrible friend to her. Mm. Or either with her or like just in general. I'm trying to think. Oh my gosh. But yeah, with Addie specifically, that was one time that I was forgiven where I felt like I did not deserve that. I still feel to this day that I do not deserve her or Rose, like Stugo Rose. Like, we don't talk anymore. And I understand why we don't talk anymore, because I was terrible. And I was very hot and cold with both of them. And it was a reflection of how I was feeling at the moment with my mom and her relationships. And I was just really upset with her. And I started taking it out on those around me, which wasn't fair. And I did that to you, honestly. like, Washington wasn't even just that. Like, Washington, yes, the trigger for it all was, like, your relationship thing, your relationship adjacent thing. But yeah, and I was just like, dude, like, because of that, because I saw that happening, and I saw it happening with my mother at the same time, and I just felt like, dude, why does everyone, no one's taking heed the amount of advice I've been like, Mom, I don't think that this is healthy, or I don't think that you should do this, and I don't think, and she'd shut me down and be like, I'm the child, and you're the, and she's the adult, and I'm like, And so I felt like I was losing control of everything around me, mm-hmm. and it just felt like no one's listening, and you're all gonna get hurt, and at this point, I'm gonna let you get hurt, and I'm not gonna care, and I'm gonna hurt other people, and to receive, like, forgiveness on Addie's part was really just, like, a reset for me. It was like, you're chilling, it's okay, like, just breathe, don't do it again, but breathe and know that, like, you're forgiven, and continue to work towards, like, forgiveness on multiple fronts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, y'all, we are now on step 4 of acceptance. Oh my goodness.
We are at 2 hours and 70 minutes.
Yeah. And the sad part is, maybe an hour and a half is gonna get through this.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Max.
And we keep most of this.
Minimum. Minimum. It's gonna be an hour and 30 minutes. Step 4 is accepting God. And everyone's favorite verse, every Christian's favorite verse, seems to be John 3:16-17, which is, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. I might be forgetting verse 17, actually. So, yeah, just thought we'd read that. God's not flawed. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's not like us.
Oh, you were waiting for that one, weren't you?
I was. But, like, it's not my fault, y'all. Like, God's not like us, but in a good way. In a very good way. We're not like God. Yeah. Now, in Romans 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul described God as being wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient with us, and observed that his kindness leads us to repentance, which, in a physical manner, kindness.
You should sing right now.
Yeah. So think of that one meme of that one guy who's, like, very madly ravaged looking, with papers in his hands, pointing at the board. That's what I'm doing right now. But yeah, kindness. Physically, I think, I can't think, apparently, but yeah, I think kindness came to us in the form of Melody.
Yeah.
Guys, you're going to hear us mention Melody a lot. You're going to get sick of her name, but it's okay, though, because she's going to be on the show. She's going to be our first guest, and I'm so excited. But yeah, so accepting him, into our lives and repenting, because she led us both to repentance and to give our life back over. She was our connector reader, and yeah, she's so awesomeness.
Yes.
But yeah, no, accepting him is knowing that no matter what happens, he's there and he's ready and we will be okay.
Yeah.
Because we all are worthy fathers may not care, or haven't been caring for us as deeply as he has, because he loves us and he cares for us and he watches over us eternally, and everything is under his control. So yeah, that's pretty cool to know. I like that. Describe your idea of God.
When I was younger and I would pray at night, mm-hmm. I would just imagine this like glowing, like, it's like, I don't know, it's just like this bright light of joy and happiness and like forgiveness and just frowning. Mm-hmm. And I'd be in front of it and I'd just pray and I'd look up and I'd imagine looking at him. And I wouldn't see a face really. I guess I'd just see more of like a presence, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I technically do not know what God looks like.
No one does.
No one does. So I never had a set idea of what he looked like in my head. Mm-hmm. I did know, like, it was like just this glow on the room.
And you know what? Same. I never really, like, envisioned, like, a physical human person. Like, one that, like, looks like someone I know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if I did, it would probably look like my old reverend. We're going to do it this or that.
Okay.
So, pretty much would you rather. Click. Whichever answer resonates with you more is the one that you should say.
Okay.
So, this or that. I feel safe when God and or Jesus is mentioned. Or I feel triggered when God or Jesus is mentioned.
We'll say when God or Jesus are mentioned.
Alright, I haven't worked through the hurt I've experienced, or I have begun working on the hurt I've experienced.
I haven't worked through the hurt I've experienced.
I haven't either, but I'm starting to eventually, sometime this week. Maybe, possibly. I haven't decided. I have a hard time trusting God, or I find it easy to trust God.
I need easy trust, but I've always just, well, baby.
Just like, you got it. Yeah, I had a hard time trusting him for a bit there, but right now I'm like, hey. I had asked about a mission trip,
yeah,
and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I stay here with my mom and the baby and my sister to keep them all from like hurting, like driving each other insane, or do I go on a mission trip and spread the gospel? What do I do? And he told my mom found a church, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's never gone to church in like almost 11 years, because the last time we went into a church together, Asia was like a newborn. Asia's like 3 months old max. So yeah, I was like, oh. So I found that as his way of saying, like, look, I got them.
Mm-hmm.
You go do what I told you to go do.
Yeah.
I got this. Yeah. But yeah, so now I find it pretty easy to trust him. I'm like, oh, okay, you got it. You got it, big G. I believe in you. But yeah. All right, I feel confused as to why God has allowed bad things to happen to me, or I trust that God has a greater purpose for my suffering. Currently, remember?
Oh, currently?
Yeah.
Okay. I trust that God, you know, has a reason for suffering. I feel like back then I would have said more of a why?
You got a little questionable choices. Same. My experiences with other believers has a direct impact on my view of God, or I don't associate the behaviors of believers with the character of God.
Again, with like younger me would have been saying like I did reflect like the believers' beliefs, but now I'm more of like they're not God. They're not a full representation of him, and I won't let them contradict how I feel about this or that. So
I think it's a little bit some both for me. Like the way I'm interpreting this is like currently,
mm-hmm.
like meeting Melanie and Tala and Leah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, having them, or just connect group in general. I think having them and being able to be, ooh, it's 2:22, y'all. We're going to wrap this up real quick. Give me a second. I promise you, we're going to be in bed before 3. Before 3, I believe. But, yeah. My experience now, currently, even back then, actually, it's just like having those who were surrounded by faith and were involved in like partaking in their faith and practicing it, kind of just was like, they're so into this. I want to be so into something like that, because it's like, you can just see like the relief that they get from it. And I was like, oh my goodness.
I think the good thing about the church too for me was like, I've never seen so many like men or like be so invested into God. Yes. And I was so surprised. Like, I don't know why I was surprised, but usually like most men I've met, you know, they are never that committed. And so I was sitting here like, oh my goodness, like this environment is like, it's not just, you know, like the girls are like we a lot of the times, yes, we do split up a lot, but when we do come together, like it's kind of like it's almost healing to see these men just be like so full force,
and then they're so connected.
Yes, they're very connected.
Like I didn't even know about connect groups for a while, because I didn't even know that they did those, even at my old church, like all the way back home. There was like connect groups, they had teams come and meet, and they were talking to each other for like an hour and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is odd. And then like we went to the connect groups up here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so this is like something that people do. This is something people are like happily partaking in. Okay, solid. But yeah, I just think it's a mix for me. Like, I don't have a 100% like character view of like the believers of God, because it's like whatever relationship you have with that man is your relationship with that man, and I'm not gonna base mine off of yours.
Yeah.
But I do like seeing those who are like very involved in it, because like I said, like the reason I got back into my faith was because of Bree, and she was like in it, like
she was really in it,
and I love that for her. Shout out to Briseis. Yeah.
Oh my God, I miss Briseis.
No, bro, like. Last one is, I feel connected to who God is, or I feel confused as to who God is.
I feel like a mix. I feel like I don't know everything. I can say I know everything, but I don't. And so I do have an idea of who God is, but I still want to further my knowledge of who God is some more. So yeah.
Same. Like, I don't think I'm confused on who God is. I know who he is. Yeah. I just feel like there's been such a disconnect previously that I'm taking my time in getting to know him again. You know? Right. What preconceived notions or expectations did you have about God?
For me, I think it was like he was the creator of everything. Like, I knew like he's created everything. I knew that he's created all this and that, and I didn't really have, I don't think, many, because I feel like for the longest time, I knew who God was, but I didn't have any real thoughts before, I guess, about it. I've always believed in him, though. I think I was just not as invested as a kid, or I didn't have, like, the resources to really get to know him as a kid. So, like, I'd have this thought, and I'd love it. Like, I always loved church, so it was usually, like, I had a pretty good, like, standing on him, I suppose. It's just sometimes people can make a bad reputation for something, and so I was very unsure about going, you know, into this new church, and, like, with people, I was kind of scared.
Yeah. I think for me, just understanding, or I misunderstood like what repentance was. I thought it's like so bad. I felt like you had to go to a priest and like confess every single thing under the sun you've ever done. And I was like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, why am I confessing to a man I don't even know? But then like it was explained to us during like the gospel story, it's like, just means to turn away from, like, you're walking the wrong way, you're missing the mark, turn around, go home. Turn around. Can you tell we're really tired, y'all? But yeah, no. I think that after understanding that, like, I just thought that, like, he's not gonna forgive me. Mm-hmm. I've done too many bad things. And I just don't, I can't go through that for real. And so I thought, like, going into the church, I was just like, I don't see why. Like, even when I went to LCF, I was just like, I'm here. That's something. It counts for something, I think. I'm trying. I think that that's what my expectations were. I was like, he's not gonna forgive me. But I think, like, it really was just like, I need to forgive myself and allow myself to, like, lock in with the Lord, as said by Faith Factor Podcast. That's like the Bible, I think. Locking with the Lord. Okay, the last question is, how has this understanding of God been shaped by your experiences, and does it closely align with how he reveals himself in scripture? Let me keep that open, actually, just in case we have to read that again. Actually, I am going to read that again. Okay, how has this understanding been shaped by your experiences, and does it closely align with how he reveals himself in scripture?
I think, yeah, the past experiences definitely do shape with, like, your already kind of thought process of what you expect. And I don't think they, well, for me at least, mine didn't go hand in hand with the, like, scriptures that I've been reading lately or I've been invested into.
Right.
So I guess, like, it really depends on the person for me.
Fair enough. I think for me, it's been shaped by, like, my aunts and taking me to church, and then once again by, like, Bree when I went with church with her, because, like, I always knew that the Holy Spirit was there. When I went to church with my aunt, I was always like, yeah, no, like, I know God, yeah, I'm chill, like, it's okay, it's he's always there for me, I know that much. So sorry. But yeah. So last question, okay. For me, just understanding, like, even when I was at my aunt's church, just like, he's always there, he's always been there. And then once again with going to church with Bree, like, it just reaffirmed, like, I'm here for you, and I want you to know me, and I know that you want to know me. And I think that going into it, I didn't really think that. I don't think that before I got into, before we came to the current church that we go to for ACM, I don't think that my ideal of God matched with the scripture, but, like, as I'm growing into my faith again, I just start to remember things of how I used to think of him, and things that, like, my aunt would tell me of him, and my old pastor, my old reverend would tell me about him, and I was just like, yeah, no, that's always who he's been, and that's always what I've known. I just had to, like, remember to begin with, but yeah. Alright, y'all. That is it. That's the last question.
This was an emotional experience.
Yeah. I just think it's important to talk about acceptance, because I think acceptance and forgiveness just go hand in hand with each other. And I understand that that's one of my next steps, especially after the last service that we went to. It kind of just was like a sign for me. It was like, it's time to, like, it's time to be I'm not a girl anymore. I'm 19. I'm about to be 20 this year, you all. So I just think it was like, you're about to be an adult. There's no more teen in your age. You're about to be an adult. And in order to be an adult, you can't sit here and hold petty little grudges, or you can't sit here and be like, I'm just a girl. Because you're not just a girl anymore. You're a young woman. Act like it. Grow up. So I think after hearing that sermon, I was just like, okay, that's what we're talking about. What about you? What's your views on acceptance to close out?
I feel like you can't really go on with life if you just can't accept certain things. And like you said, like, acceptance and forgiveness hand in hand. Like I've said before, and like probably 1,000 times in this podcast, is, I fully believe that, I believe in forgiving, not forgetting. You don't have to forget how someone treated you. You don't have to, like, be as close to them as possible or this and that, but forgive them, if not for yourself, or like, but not for them, to just, because if you never get over it, you're going to still, it's going to still weigh inside of you. It's going to build this resentment. It's going to feel like sickening almost. And you don't want that. You want to be like free of all of that. Like, the, cause it's going to add like weights on your shoulders. Like, trying to hold a grudge against something, it's just not worth it. It's just, it's exhausting. And I, like I said before, me holding that against my father, like, I am so tired of being mad at him. Like, I'm so tired of being angry all the time. Like, I've been angry for 18 years almost, I feel, you know?
Like, it's time to be done with this.
It's time to be done with this. Like, I'm ready to move on with my life, and I want to be able to move on with my life. But it's hard knowing that that part is still, like, stowing away inside of me. So, I just believe acceptance is just the way to go.
Real. All right, you all. Wherever you're listening from, you're all listening from Arizona for right now.
Yeah.
For right now. So, like, have a blessed morning, because it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
2:40, actually. It's almost 3. Thank you so much for listening. Deuces.
Bye.
Bye.